with such a great introduction, I just have to behave. Greetings from Kenya. My wife and our boys told me to say hi to you. And they love you. They are praying for us. They are asleep when we are working here, because we are 10 hours different. And it is amazing. So last month was one of my best, to receive a team from Via Lethbridge in Canada. We had a good time over there. God healed people. God taught us his word. And we are really happy that finally I'm here after 3 weeks. 4 weeks from today, we were in one of our churches in the refugee camp, and God moved greatly, and there's a miracle that took place on that day. There was a lady who was paralyzed on one side when this team was there, and I give this testimony as worship to God. And one had was somehow, do you say withered? Or, yeah, she couldn't stretch it. She was not able to hold the baby. And I praise God, for God healed her, like, completely. Now she's doing well. And that is just a little bit of what God did. He did other things. And we need a few days to talk about it and share those testimonies. So I thank the Lord for giving me this opportunity to be here. I was here a few years ago. And I want to thank Bishop Todd so much and the entire leadership of this community for considering me and also giving me the pulpit to minister today. You know, in Kenya, I'm just there. I come and minister, but here, now he's there. So it's either I choose to be sort of not be confident, or I choose to be very confident because I'm covered. I think I choose the latter. When we were talking with Emmy over the phone, she told me that I'll be welcome to minister, and you are talking on the kingdom of God. And I felt that's really good. Because how we pray that the kingdom of God, as it is in heaven, would happen here on earth. It is a beautiful thing. And I've been praying about it, and the Lord has been so good. I have to look at my watch. I don't want to go for 3 hours. And I just want to thank him for who he is and who he has been, a faithful father, a caring God. And today we are going to see something on praying God's kingdom come. Normally, in my sermons, I'm okay with 2 people sleeping, but not more than that. So I'll be looking aloud. Bishop will be helping me to look aloud. And you know, he has the shepherd, Lord, so if he finds you sleeping, he'll hit you. Just a little bit. And so, let's go. There is a deep hunger for prayer and a deep hunger to talk to Jesus, walk with Jesus, and walk with Jesus every day. And for quite some time, I've been talking on prayer and teaching on prayer. The Lord has been ministering to me deeply the need of talking with him, the need of just being in his presence. And whenever the word of God is preached on prayer or on the kingdom of God, you feel like, yeah, I'm fired up. I need to go out and do what the word of God says. But it's quite unfortunate sometimes to note that we get so fired up when we're in the sanctuary, and immediately after we leave the door, I think we meet with some snow over there, and we grow cold again. God's purpose for us is that we get it, and we learn it, and we walk with it. And you find that we struggle to make that connection between what God stirs within us, in our hearts, and letting prayer flow and the Spirit of God flow in our everyday life. This is the reason why God will give us those heavenly secrets so that we can know them. And then we release ourselves to the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, so that we can allow our hearts to flow, and in prayer, our spirit to flow in what the Lord is doing in a specific season of time. And there is a kind of hunger that was stirred up in the disciples of Jesus, because they could look at Jesus praying, and his prayer was different from what they had ever seen anywhere else. Prayer marked Jesus' everyday life. Before he made any serious decision, he went pray. Before he performed great miracles, he went to pray. Before he encountered with the powers of darkness, like Reed Cobart, he had first to go to pray. And he could come to the disciples and say that, "What I only do what I see my Father doing." Meaning he was in a constant connection and relationship with his Father. And as we know, it's only possible through prayer. And his disciples looked at him and said, "He's not like the Pharisees. Sometimes he goes out of where we are just to speak a few words to the Father." And they said, this man Jesus, he's not like the Pharisees. He's not like anyone that we've ever seen. Like, his prayer is different. And they say to Jesus, "Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. We thought that we know how to do it, but I think we need to know it better. Teach us to pray. We want to be part of this life. We want to be part of this connection. So please teach us to pray. Teach us, how do I pray?" And if you think about it, it is remarkable that Jesus prayed. It's remarkable. How could he pray and he was God? I mean, why could he need to pray? And we see, even though he's God, in Philippians 2, we are told that he left all what he had as God in heaven. And he humbled himself to the level of a servant. The original translation that means servant is douros, which means a slave. He humbled himself to the level of a slave. He didn't come as God, so though he was still sovereign, but he accepted to come down and humble himself and just be there to minister to us and to grow with us. And he lived a life dependent on God's grace that included the practice of prayer. That included spending time daily with the Heavenly Father to live in humble dependence on the Father. And Jesus literally modeled the nature of our calling. We need to pray. God wants to do everything. He's sovereign. He's able to heal. He's able to deliver. He's able to... all those things that are going amiss in our battle, he's able to collect them in a flash of a second. He's able to take care of the Turkana people in a second. He's able to restore peace on earth like this. But it is his greatest desire to co-work with us. And in prayer, we enforce his kingdom and we enforce his will on earth. And I only pray because of mainly these three things. Number one, because prayer is powerful. Prayer is powerful. Because prayer invites God into our lives and into the things in our lives that are most important to us. I would pray prayer is powerful. Because when I pray, I'm inviting God into my life situations. I'm inviting God in those things that matters to me, those things that matters to my community, the Turkana people. It's like inviting God, like, God, I welcome you. God, I welcome you in Turkana land. God, I welcome you in Lethbridge. God, please come. These things that I think are important, these things that I think that they matters in my life, please come on and let us walk with you. Two, prayer changes things. Prayer makes a difference because God does answer prayers. And sometimes even though our prayer seems as though they are not answered, still God changes us. I pray because prayer makes a difference. Three, I pray because Jesus prayed. If Jesus prayed, why is it that I should not pray? In order to lead the word of God, and I would kindly request that we all stand. Let's all stand. And lead the Bible from the book of Matthew 6, 5, 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to the Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debtors, as we also forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. May we get seated. May we get seated. So you see, Jesus, when the disciples asked him to teach them to pray, he started by telling them that when you pray, number one, pray sincerely. Just be sincere. Don't be like those religious hypocrites over there. They do things for a show. Two, he said, when you pray, devote some private time each day to prayer. Go into your closet. That is private time. Not that you only pray when you go into a closet. Because you see, the Bible says that we pray always. But it's a good discipline if you choose to choose some time in your tight schedule and just go into a closet where you meet with your Creator, where you talk with Him. Many times He used to just get out, go to the mountain in a closet and pray. Somewhere where He was just alone with God. So when you pray, sometimes just go into a closet and just talk with Him. Talk to Him, and because He sees in secret, He'll bless you. This is not to say that we not pray lacing our hearts. We should not pray like what we've done in the sanctuary. But He wanted to tell us the importance of purposing to go into a secret place to just be with Him. This is priority. When you go to a secret place, you are saying, God, I've given you all my life. Like this specific time, I give it to you. It is yours. And I'm coming to you so that we meet and we communicate. And I don't want to do much on that because I want us to go into praying the kingdom of God. We've just said that the Bible says, our Father who art in heaven. The word that means Father here is Daddy. In other words, He's a lovely Father. I know there are times when we feel as though I'm not worthy to go to Him. Possibly I've not been doing it for some time. I've not been praying. And you feel I'm not worthy for this. But He is our Daddy. He is our heavenly Daddy. I have 3 boys and 1 nephew who lives with me. And if there's anything I love, even when I'm very busy, is when they just call me and say, Daddy, Daddy. When I hear Daddy, I just want to stop what I'm doing for a bit and listen to them. They are my children. No matter how busy I am, the moment I hear that my kids are calling me, I stop everything and give them total attention because I'm their daddy. And this is the same thing whenever we go to a heavenly Father who is so powerful, the creator of heaven and earth, who is seeing everything that is happening on earth, who is all able. Whenever I go to Him and say, Daddy, He gives me His full attention. Regardless whether I feel as though I'm not worthy, I have Jesus in me who is worthy. And by the essence that Jesus is in me, I'm worthy to go before Him. By the grace of God, I have a total access to the Father God. I have a total access to this Daddy who is in heaven. And Jesus said, I don't want you to forget this. Don't come to the heavenly judge. Don't come to this judge, to this big God who is in heaven, whose throne is in heaven, whose word is forever settled in heaven. But He said, come to Him as your daddy. come to him as your daddy. And he said, when you pray, hallowed be your name. And then he said, pray that your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth. You see, it is not only that God is our friend, but he's also suffering. He wants to rule in my life, and he also wants to rule in my community. He wants to rule in Africa. He's suffering. He's the greatest ruler who has ever lived. He's the King of Kings. He wants to reign in this world. And that is why he taught us that, Jesus taught us that when you pray, pray that may your kingdom come. In other words, God, I will come, you come and reign on earth. Come and reign in my life. Come and reign in my family. I will come, you come, Lord Jesus, come. And Apostle John got a glimpse of how incredible it will be when God's kingdom is fully realized. If you go to the book of, to Revelations 21, 3 to 4, you see, it says that there will be no more hunger. There will be no more thirst. There will be no more tears. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more crying or pain. This is the kingdom of God. Can you imagine that this is what God wants to do to us? I really thank you, because many times you come to our rescue. But in like when we had a very bad drought in Turkana, I still remember how you sent sacrificially, resources, sacrificially. And no, when we pray that God let your kingdom come into Cana, in other words, we are saying, let your presence come into Cana, let your kingdom come. Remove hunger, remove thirst, remove pain, remove suffering, because this is the benefits of the kingdom of God. Isaiah 2:4 describes a day when disputes between nations, disputes between people will be no more. This is the kingdom of God. So when you are praying, God, let your kingdom come, you are praying that let your kingdom come and reign where there is drought. Let your kingdom come and reign where there is sickness. Let your kingdom come and reign where there is diseases. Let your kingdom come and reign where there is animosity. You know, like, most of the time when the Bible talks of nations, we think that God is talking of Kenya, Tanzania, Canada, but he's talking of ethnic groups. The Bible says that all other ethnic groups, the Bible says that in the gospel of the kingdom must be published in every nation. What we see today, we don't see that in every nation. Kenya alone, we have more than 20 people groups who are not leashed with the gospel. Kenya alone. We have a new group that is not leashed with the gospel of the disabilities, disabled people in Kenya. So you see, God wants his kingdom to get into every nation. Yesterday there was a raid. I don't know whether that is the right pronunciation, but People from Pokot, it's a tribe in Kenya, they came to steal yesterday. They came to Turkana to steal cattle from Turkana people. And they killed a few people. So when we pray that the kingdom of God come in those places, that strife, you be no more. When we pray the kingdom of God to come in our praises, you know, he lets down so much grace that causes people to come face to face with the reality of who God is. And he causes nations to have a true repentance of and turning back to God. So Isaiah 2 describes this kingdom of God as a day when disputes between nations, disputes between people will be no more, when war will cease, when sword and spear will no longer be instruments of death, but will be purposed to be instruments of growing food and possibly giving life. Isaiah 11:6 describes a day when predators like lion will live with the lamb. The lion will lie down with the calf. The dog will make peace with the rabbit, possibly. Yeah, and you know they're never friends. The rabbit and the cat will make peace with the non-cat lovers. And like, you know, for me, there are few animals that I fear, but God will make peace when the kingdom of God is fully restored. And you know, everybody and everyone will get along. So when we pray, Father, your kingdom come, that is the kind of picture that you are putting before him and before our nation. When we pray, God, let your kingdom come, we are praying that God's will would increasingly be accomplished in our lives, in our cities, in our nation, and in our world. And who is God's will for us? Who is God's will for our nation? Who is God's will for our world? That is what we are praying for our nations. But I'm not convinced that we are at that point yet in the nation or in the world that we are in today. There's still a long way to go. Every time I read the paper and I listen to the news, I hear stories like recently in Kenya, there is a husband who killed his wife and killed his children, and then he committed suicide. Those are the kind of news that we hear. We hear of nations rising against nations. We hear of raids like what happened yesterday in my country. We hear of national calamities. Last week on Thursday or Wednesday, there was a big dam in Kenya that broke. And it killed more than 43 people who were seen, and a few others who were missing. This is not the kingdom of God. When we pray, God, let your kingdom come, we are praying that there be peace in places like those, that the kingdom of God, which is higher than any other kingdom, will avert these disasters in the places where we live, and there will be peace, and the will of God will take place. So those are the kind of stories that we listen to. Every time I hear about unspeakable grief that a family is going through because of sudden deaths of people and of loved ones, I'm reminded how badly we need God's kingdom to come. So when we pray, God, let your kingdom come on earth. Let it be on earth as it is in heaven.
In other words, you are praying that God, how we pray, that your very presence would fill the earth. That your very ability would fill the earth. That the peace that is in heaven, the joy that is in heaven, would fill the earth. There are horrible things that are happening on earth. But when we pray, the Lord, let your kingdom come, we are saying, Lord, come and rule in our lives. Lord, come and rule in this nation. Lord, come and rule through our prime minister. God, come and rule in Canada. You hear stories of the things that we never had in Kenya, but nowadays you are seeing them. You see demonstration in towns, people asking for their rights. We are human. We want our rights. We want to be allowed, men to marry men and women to marry women. We need our rights. We never had those things in Kenya. And you realize that the world is drifting into those places. We never had there are nations in the world which have legalized drugs like marijuana to be used openly. You see, we are drifting away day after day. We need the kingdom of God. And this is why Jesus taught his disciples and said, when you pray, pray, God, let your kingdom come. Come and reign. Come and reign in our midst. Come and reign. God, oh, that you may come and reign in Kenya. Oh, that you may come and avert these disasters. Oh, God, that you may come and reign in Canada. Come and reign in this world. God, we need your kingdom. So, you see, all these stories, that God may come and rule in my city. Come and rule in my nation. Come and rule in my world. In other words, when we are praying that God let your kingdom come, we are acknowledging that we cannot rule ourselves. We are acknowledging that God, I can't rule myself. I need you, God. Come and rule on my behalf. But as human, we want our way. Wherever you go to Turkana, where there is drought, there is hunger, we want our way. I don't know whether in Canada, Canadians want their way. When we pray, God, let your kingdom come. In other words, we are acknowledging that God, I'm tired of ruling myself. God, it's no longer pleasing to me for us as humans to rule our nation. Come and rule in this place, God. We need God in this place. God, let your kingdom come. When you pray, God, let your kingdom come, we are simply saying that Jesus, we are simply saying that we can't do this ourselves. God, I'm not able to avert drought in Turkana myself. God, I'm not able to lash out for my people in Kenya who do not have a witness of who you are. In other words, I'm telling God, God, I'm not able. It's surrender. When you pray, God, let your kingdom come, you're simply surrendering all to God. It's so easy in Kenya to sing, I surrender all. And we love it. I surrender. You know, I don't want to sing because when I sing, people say that I'm talking. But it's also okay to talk to God. So, it's easy to say, I salada. But when I pray, God, let your kingdom come, I'm literally saying that, God, I'm surrendering my rule. I don't want to rule myself. I don't want to rule my nation. I don't want to rule these churches that, God, you're starting. God, I want you to come and rule these churches. God, come and rule. Let your kingdom come. You know, our efforts without God will not work. Politics will not help. Will not rule this nation. You know, God's way of ruling the nations is through the church. Non-governmental organization in Kenya tries to do all what they can do to help, but to realize it's getting a little bit hard. Civil society is trying their level best, but still it's not working. We need the kingdom of God to come. When the kingdom of God comes, everything will be well. There will be peace, there will be joy, there will be grace. It will be awesome. There will be a good place. There will be no struggling. God himself will be coming, healing his people, delivering his people, accelerating the spread of the gospel for his own name's glory. But all in all, we are seeing God working. We hear that in places like Libya, we are getting 5,000 people convert in a day. Libya. And meaning, they have discovered that there is no life in their religion. More than 5,000 in a day coming to Jesus. This is to say that, okay, although there are so many vices, there is so many bad news, and you know our media houses, I don't know where in Canada media houses like to broadcast the bad news. In Kenya, media houses take a lot of time in bad news. So when you hear it's news time, it's not time for good news, it's time for bad news. Although the papers and media and all that, although what we hear, what we see, we are seeing so many things that are bad, but God's kingdom is working. We are strong. The church will grow. The church will prosper. The body of Christ will spread. Because it's not about us. It is about him. In villages, in deserts, in Muslim nations, in Arab nations. Just the other day, Bishop, I was so much impressed and blessed by what I heard. One of our young ministers, church planters who is working in Sudan, he's in my house at the moment, just for a short break in Kitale. He came over and told me, he's a great man, he's a man of great stories. When he planted the first church, he came to me and said, please forgive me. I've made a mistake. I've planted a church without your consent. And I thought, kind of a cool mistake. So I wrote a letter back to him and said, go and make a few other mistakes. And he's doing it together with another pastor called Joseph. So, just 2 weeks ago, he came to me and he told me, yay, now I'm so happy. Now we are in the Emirates. Like, what do you mean? I've not seen you fly in an Emirates plane. But simply he was saying that now we planted a church in Khartoum, which is 100% Arabs. And that's a different country. That is the North Sudan. And it's the capital city of the North. In other words, I'm saying, although there are so many things that are discouraging, when we pray, God, let your kingdom come, there are things that happen. God saved lives, churches are growing, and churches are even growing deep and wide when you pray that, God, let your kingdom come. So what we need is the kingdom of God to come. And there are so many good news happening that we don't know. God is working. There are many things that are happening. So what I would say as I finish, and you know, a bishop is Bible teacher, he knows very well that Paul said 3 times finally, but only say one. So finally, as I finish, please get the map of the world. Take those places, adopt those places, and pray that the kingdom of God would come in those places. So, Father, I pray that you come into these situations and let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come, God. Let it be done as it is in heaven. Let it be done on earth. In Jesus' name, amen. Our bishop.
Thank you, Pastor Wilson. Everybody know what next Sunday is? What's next Sunday? Pardon? Canon? But canon, there might be something that marks it as being even more significant than canon. Pentecost. Next Sunday is the Feast of Pentecost. Know what the word Pentecost means? Penta, 50 days. Literally means 50 days. And it arouses great joy in people. 50 days since the resurrection. So when Jesus rose from the dead, 40 days until the ascension, another 10 days until the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, in total 50 days, which raises the question, what did he do after the resurrection besides walking through walls and scaring people? What was his primary occupation for 40 days? Acts chapter 1. He taught his disciples, I quote, the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Between Easter and Pentecost, he left the crowds behind in preparation for a mission. And he said he taught his disciples invaluable things about the kingdom of God. You see how significant that theme is? First of all, there was a learning about kingdom of God, 10 days, 40 days. Then there was the power of the kingdom coming. And then there was the walking out of the kingdom of God, the first days of the church. So I want to thank Pastor Stephen. Interesting, after Easter, he began his series on the kingdom of God. I'm hoping he's going to teach us for more than 40 days. I think he is, but that's up to him now. Pastor Wilson, come all the way from Africa to teach us about the kingdom of God. We're preparing our hearts for the Pentecost. And then we get to think of what are the implications? How do we get to live out the kingdom? What difference could it make to our droughts? To the problems that plague our lives, our cities, our countries. What difference could it make in our city? It healed, the power of the kingdom healed the lady's arm there. Very, very important days which we're living. Let's turn our attention to the Lord's table. The last Sunday, this liturgical year, for these words, hallelujah, Christ is risen. All who are willing to share in Christ's death and to rise with him in new life, to put aside your sins and to be reconciled with your neighbor, to obey your risen Lord, draw near now with faith, receive in this sacrament the bread of life, and make your humble confession to your heavenly Father. Would you take a moment for private confession? As you do so, maybe you'd pray exactly as Pastor Wilson taught us. What are the areas in your life that you would like to see the kingdom of God impact? Bring those to the Lord now in prayer.